Hi, podcast listeners. This is your host, Alicia Beach, and I am inviting you to a very special event. On Saturday, November 3rd, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., I would love for you to join me for the Mom Self-Care Planning Workshop. Yep, you heard the word planning. And I know if you're like me, you probably bristle at the word of planning and the thought of having to plan one more thing. But let me ask you something. When was the last time you were on your to-do list and you actually followed through and took care of yourself for once? Yeah, has it been a while? I know. Us mamas are super guilty of taking care of everybody else and always pushing our needs to the back burner. And I'm saying that you need to plan your own self-care. All from self-experience, because I'm planning my own. So I would love for you to join me for an amazing day. You're going to have breakfast and lunch. We're going to have amazing speakers and giveaways. And you are going to leave with an actual practical plan to put in place to implement self-care into your daily life. It is possible, ladies, and I'm going to show you how. So click on the link in our notes to grab a ticket very quickly before they sell out for our Mom Self-Care Planning Workshop on Saturday, November 3rd. I cannot wait to see you there. Welcome to the Mom Forum. I am your host, Alicia Wilson Beach. I am birth mom of three, adoptive mom of one, and stepmom to four. Yes, you counted that right. That is eight kids. And over the years, I have been known to completely overshare my story of motherhood. And I started this podcast to be able to share the common and maybe not so common experiences of motherhood from women of all walks of life. So thank you for joining me for these intimate mom-to-mom conversations, following each of my guests' journey through motherhood. These stories are honest and vulnerable. There's a little bit of humor and a whole lot of relatability. And my hope is that you can see yourself in one of these stories and know that you are absolutely not alone in this crazy journey through motherhood. Today, I'm sitting down with Brandi Riley. She is a married mom of two kids, and she shares her mom journey on her blog, Mama Knows It All. She's also an entrepreneur and founded the group Courage to Earn, which I'm a member of, and we chat about later on in the interview. We also talk about single motherhood, because she started out as a single mom, choosing self, and finding your voice, which she is the master of. I hope that you can hear some of yourself in this interview, and maybe she can help you find your voice just by you listening to this. Enjoy. Well, thank you, Brandi, for joining me today. I know we just had a lovely weekend together, but now I get to ask you all the questions.
Yes. Instead
of getting in on me.
Yes, I'm excited about it.
Let's just talk about first, introduce us to your family.
Okay. So there's four people in our family. I'm the mom, obviously. And then I have an 8-year-old daughter, a 9-month-old son, and my husband. So we all are just kind of probably a chill, relaxed family compared to a lot of folks we know. We like to be together. We like to be at home together. We travel. We're very close with my in-laws, with my husband's parents. We travel together as a family. We're just super tight and super close.
That's really nice. Supportive, too.
Yes.
Don't always have dad.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to take you back to when you were a little girl.
Yeah.
And I always ask this question. Were you the little girl that was pining for children, or did you just not even think about kids, or maybe somewhere in between those two?
That's an interesting question. I don't think that I ever really thought about having kids. You know, I was I'm the oldest of four kids. So I have two brothers and a sister. And my brother that's closest to me is 6 years younger than me. So I was an only child for a while, and I was used to being kind of like the center of attention. I wasn't thinking about no babies. You know, so yeah, and even as I got older, it wasn't until I was in my 20s where I started thinking, you know, I think I want to have kids, or started picturing myself as a mom.
That's interesting. I was a piner, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, from day one, I was a piner. But who was Brandy before kids came into the picture? What were you doing?
Yeah.
What were your goals?
So before kids, I wanted to be an actor. So I went to school for theater. I went to college for theater. And then after that, I did a lot of regional theater and family theater and started teaching. So I worked with kids and I really enjoyed working with kids. But I never, I mean, I worked with older kids. So, you know, elementary and middle school age children. So I never really thought about babies too much. I was all over the place because I was gigging. You know, I was freelance teaching. I was doing shows. I was just kind of a free spirit, you know, never really focused in on any one thing and didn't really want to be tied down to any one place. I lived in Philadelphia for 10 years, but I was back and forth to North Carolina and wherever my friends were, which New York and DC and all over the place. So it wasn't until probably 3 years before I moved to California that I started thinking, okay, I really want to find a place that I can call home so I can settle down and just be chill and relaxed.
So you started thinking about where you wanted to put roots down.
Yeah.
But let's go back to becoming a mother.
Yes.
You became a mom before you moved to California.
Right, right.
And so I ask all my moms, how did they get to motherhood?
Yeah.
Was it a choice? Was it an active choice? How did they follow that path to motherhood?
Yeah, so I was just about to turn 30. I was 29, and well, I was 28 turning 29, and I was feeling like, oh my gosh, what have I done with my life? At that point, I wasn't gigging anymore. I had a full-time job at a nonprofit. It was a great job. It didn't pay a lot, but I had great responsibilities, and it made my heart full. But I felt like there was more that I could be doing, and I was starting to feel lonely, you know, by not being in a relationship. I always dated guys from back home in North Carolina just because I was always scared to meet, like, big city guys. So I was lonely because, you know, long-distance relationships are really difficult to maintain. So at the time, I wasn't dating anybody, and I was just feeling like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? So I just started kind of anticipating that love and happiness and family was going to come to me. I was wrong. I was right in one way, but I was wrong in another. So I met someone who I thought was like the one, who I thought was going to be like fantastic, and just kind of the way he presented himself to me. So this is kind of a sordid tale. But the way he presented himself to me, I thought he was different than who he was. And even though there were signs that maybe he wasn't the person that he was portraying to me, I was so lonely. That I just completely overlooked those things. And I ended up getting pregnant and thinking we were going to be together. And very quickly, I realized that it wasn't going to be a good relationship for me. So as a pregnant woman, I cut it off. I cut him off immediately. He still kind of came around for little things, you know, but mostly I decided to choose myself and to choose my child because I didn't want my child thinking that love looked like somebody dipping in and dipping out of their life whenever they felt like it. And, you know, for me, that was a blessing because making a choice very early and knowing what I was up against before she was even here made me able to plan, made me able to look at my circle and find out who was there for me and ask for help and really start to set up that village that I knew I was going to need when she got here.
Because a lot of women, I think, go through this and they move forward anyway in the hopes that it will be fixed.
Yeah.
Or that they
don't
really deal with it. So what is it you think were some of the key things you did during that time to help support you and support your decision that you were making?
I think for me, I mean, I like to take responsibility. I don't want people to feel bad when they make the choice that's like not the right choice. But for me, I was a little older. I was almost 30. So, you know, although I hadn't dated a ton, you know, I had friends that had been in relationships. So I knew what to look, you know, what to look for. So I wasn't young. And then at the time, I was teaching self-esteem to girls, to middle school girls, you know, so it's kind of like, let me walk what I teach. Let me practice what I preach, you know, and, you know, knowing that for me, like, to be able to stand in front of these girls and say, you know, this is a choice that I'm making and here's why. That meant a lot to me. You know, that was really important for me to be able to represent the thing that I was teaching them to be. And with that, you know, I mean, there was still some shame and some all of that with being a single mom, you know, with, and I talked to my girls about it. I stood up in front of them and said, you know, I want to say that having a baby is a lot easier and a lot more amazing if you are married first, you know, and I know that it makes me look like a hypocrite, but I'm going to tell you that it's not easy, you know, and with family and friends growing up in the church and, you know, being a Christian and all that, there was a lot of shame that I had to get over. And it wasn't until probably my daughter was maybe 19 or 20 months where I finally just kind of like released all of it and was just like, you know what, this is my situation. I'm doing the best that I can for her and I'm proud to be a mom, however I am a mother.
Girls and women hear that and
yeah.
take that away from this conversation, if anything, because that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to raising your children, you don't want to be in a situation that doesn't make you happy or makes you feel unsafe or unsupported
right.
in any way.
Right, exactly. And, you know, for me, I saw early that he wasn't all in, mm-hmm. and that for me was the biggest thing. You know, like sometimes you're here, sometimes you're not there. And I just, looking forward in the future, I didn't know how I would be able to look at my child and tell her, you deserve better than this, you know, if that's what she saw on a regular basis.
What happened between Philly and bringing yourself to California?
Yes, so a lot happened. I found my voice. When my daughter was born, everything that I had accepted that was like, less than 100% from anybody or anything was gone. So my job that I talked about that I loved so much, they weren't paying me enough. You know, I had been in the same position with different responsibilities, more increased responsibilities for years. I was in every leadership meeting. I was always the one that they called on. I was in charge of curriculum for 1,500 students, 4 times a year, like creating it from scratch. And I hadn't had a raise in 5 or 6 years. So I went to my boss because, again, I knew that I needed to do big things in order to be able to take care of my daughter and also that she was watching. And so I went to my boss and I demanded a promotion. And he couldn't understand why I needed a promotion. And I told him, well, if you can't give me a promotion, then can you be my reference so I can get another job? I didn't have any other jobs lined up or anything, but I knew that I could get something else and I knew that I would get something else. And so I got the promotion and with that came a trip to Minneapolis to go to a conference. And that's where I met my husband, my now husband. So it was a conference for summer learning and I was there just as an attendee. And it was the first time I left my daughter. So from that, before that time, I'd never been away from her overnight. There was a daycare at my job, and so she was there. She had never taken a bottle because they would call me to nurse her. We were very close. I was a single mom, so she was everything to me. You know, I never dated or anything like that. I couldn't imagine how I would bring a man into my home with my child. But I went away, and I met a man. So, you know, we became friends. That, you know, the first day we met, we became friends and really very quick. I mean, that night I met him, I called my friend and said, girl, I met my husband, you know, but I didn't even then I still didn't necessarily believe that he would be that I would be married and have a family and all that because, you know, I was really focused on just raising my daughter. I wasn't really planning to put a lot of energy into any sort of relationship at all. So it just so happens that he's very family oriented. And so after we met, we kept in touch and, you know, he started sending flowers and candy for her and, you know,
for your daughter?
Yes.
Oh,
mm-hmm. So anytime he sent me something, he sent her something. And, you know, he is very just attentive and understanding. It seemed to be for me, you know, being able, not only not able to talk on the phone a lot, not able to do any sort of video chats or anything, because once she went to bed, it was time for me to just, you know, go to bed, go to work. Yeah, and so we started dating long distance, and I knew that I didn't want to have a boyfriend for a long time. He came out to Philadelphia to visit with us, and it was fantastic. And then we came to California to visit with him and meet his parents. And then we came back later that year he came back for the summer. And then we came back out here for the holidays. And after Christmas out here in California with him and his family, I realized, okay, this is the guy. And so I told him, we're going to move out there. He had been kind of asking, but not really he's not really a straightforward type guy, you know? And so I told him, we're going to move out there, but I want to get married. You know, if we move out there, then I want to get married. And so I gave him a year from the time that we came out to propose and for us to get married. And my daughter and I moved out here, and we were in a one-bedroom apartment with him. Mm-hmm. He slept on the couch the entire time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I think that actually helped the engagement come quicker. he proposed about 5 months after we got here. And so actually the anniversary of a year of us moving out here is when we got married. So, you know, 12 months from start to finish, we made it happen.
Wow, he needs to like run a course.
Yes.
How to do this correctly.
Right.
Wow, I'm impressed just with the story, and I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Meanwhile, I know that you followed this on your blog.
Yes.
Mama Knows It All.
Mm-hmm.
And you followed it from the day that you met him all the way up through when you guys got married and now as a family.
Yeah.
When did you start your blog, and what caused you to start the blog?
I started my blog May of 2010. It was the day before my daughter's first birthday. And I was probably the first person among my really close friends to have a baby. And I'm very self-aware, and so I got the sense that people weren't quite as excited all the time about her as I was. Mm-hmm. So I wanted an outlet to be able to talk about parenting and motherhood and just to kind of write out my story. When I first started, there wasn't a goal to like help single moms or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was just me just sharing out what I was feeling. But I quickly discovered that other people were reading and other people wanted to be inspired by my story and what I was going through and were watching me to kind of see how they could navigate different challenges that they were going through.
And it was kind of the impetus of changing your life to where you are now. So how did you go from your blog being just a place for you to connect to people and share your story to now it's actually the thing that you make your living from?
You know, I can't remember the exact thing, but somehow I discovered that people were making money from their blogs. And it was very quickly. It was within like a month or two. And I decided, wow, that's a way that I would be able to not have to go into work. And I could take care of my daughter. And I could give her everything that she needs and that she wants and deserves by working for myself. And remember, I came from a background of freelancing and gigging. So it wasn't that crazy to me to consider that that could be done. I found a group that was in Philly at the time, a mom's blogging group, and joined it. And the woman who ran it had been blogging for years and making money from her site for years. So I just kind of sat quietly and paid attention. And within about 6 months, there was a conference that came to Philly. And it was a small, like a one-day conference, and it only cost $80. But as a single mom, I didn't have it.
Yeah.
My brother, I got on the waiting list knowing that I didn't have the money. I got off the waiting list. So I called my brother and asked him to borrow the money. He sent it to me immediately. I bought my ticket, and the people that were there, one of the sponsors, they had a blogging network where they hired bloggers to write stories for products, you know, products and pay. Mm-hmm. And I got grandfathered in because I didn't have the social networks that they needed. I didn't have any sort of numbers. I didn't have any sort of numbers that that they required, but because I had gone to this conference, I was grandfathered in. And from there, I started writing. I remember writing about a product that was for kids when they have when they get dehydrated. Like, that was my very first post. And then I started writing different posts for them from there. Eventually, I ended up working with them as a contractor. I met some of the folks that worked there. I ended up being a contractor, moved up and became and worked there full time for 2 years. So I was able to work from home. So I transitioned my entire career based off of that chance meeting at a blog conference.
In a pretty short period.
Yeah. Yeah. Very short period. And then also, which I think we don't talk about enough, is that just luck kind of and chance or fate. There was a site called iVillage back in the day.
I think I remember.
Yeah. And they're owned by NBC. And iVillage, it was a website for women. It was one of the top websites for women. And they were running ads for a contest for this group called iVillage Voices. And it was videos, you know, moms doing videos. And even though I was making money from my blog, and this was kind of like a big, you know, like contest for anybody, I submitted, put my hat in the ring, and got hired for that. So from there, this is like 7 months in. From there, I was doing videos and they were paying us every week. I was going to New York because I was in Philly. So they had West Coast people, but because I was in Philly, I got to go to New York and film with a woman who was like an Emmy Award winning news journalist who ran the program. You know, we did a talk show she had and we would film that. And it was really just fate that all of this worked out the way that it did.
So fate and you being bold enough to say when you wanted something.
Right.
And
yeah.
Ask for people to support you and help you and putting it out there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which brings me to, you run a group called Courage to Earn.
Yes.
Where you support women and push women. I'm one of them. To be bold.
Yeah.
And ask the things that they want and to make their space in the blogging world, which is big and saturated and can be overwhelming.
Right.
So you've gone through that process, and now you're walking others through that process. When did you start Courage to Earn, and what made you start it?
Yeah. So I started it almost 4 years ago. I was working at that blogging network and have been there for 2 years, and I was also blogging and I was making the same blogging that I was making at the network. And so they decided that they didn't want me blogging, you know, and I had to make a decision, you know, like, here's consistent money that I'm assured will come into my bank account every 2 weeks, or I can go out on my own and see if I can make this work. And so I decided to go out on my own, and I started I said, you know, the biggest thing I need is like an influx of cash at the beginning. So I know that I'm good, at least for a little while, because I didn't have, you know, the 6 month save that they talk about you having and all that. I just got married, you know, like I was just, you know, I needed to do something to make it happen. So I did a webinar and talked about how I made money. Like, I called it Blog Money Confidential. You know, and like, you had to sign an NDA to come, you know, and I just talk about like transparently how I made money from my blog in 1 month where I made $6,000. Like, I told them I would go through every little thing, how I made the relationship and all that kind of stuff. And I had 100 people come. It was $50. So $5,000 I made that night. And I was like, okay, this is good. And so I decided, like, let's keep going with this. Let's do something else. So I was doing, I was calling it a blog money challenge. So it was going to be that we all work together to see about making the most money that we could in 1 month. Like, we would try some of the things that I talked about in the webinar, and that I would be there to support folks as they went through it. Before the challenge started, my stepmother passed away from cancer, and it was very quick. You know, she was diagnosed, and a couple months later she was gone. And you know, just in reflecting on her life with her funeral and, you know, cleaning out her home and all that, I just was reminded about how talented she was. But it wasn't something that she really kind of took advantage of, because she didn't have anybody telling her, you know, you don't have to work two jobs. You have this great talent where if you just focused in on that and did what makes you happy, that you can actually make more money than you could ever make at any of these other places that you're working. And so I decided to call it, Courage to Earn, thinking about her, you know, needing that courage to be able to step out and try something different and, you know, and really trust in herself. And I saw that with a lot of bloggers. You know, they're so talented and so creative, but they still feel like they have to wait for somebody else to make the decision to make them great.
And that is truly a talent of yours, to just like hone in on what someone is doing. And what I like to call it is pulling someone's car.
Yes.
And telling them about themselves with love.
Yeah.
So that they can get on the right track.
Yeah. Yeah.
You seem to have naturally been able to do that with yourself.
Yeah.
Which is not something that a lot of people have been able to do. And I say that because then I wonder, do you see yourself with that same lens in motherhood? Are you able to call yourself on things that you're doing in motherhood as you've moved through this motherhood journey?
Yeah. You know, that has been, I think, the best part of going through and becoming the person that I am, is that it does make me a better mom. It makes me, I'm just constantly reflecting on my actions for the day, my tone. I'm open to suggestions on how to be better. There was a point where I was pregnant with my son and, you know, I was being short with my daughter, and my husband was just like, you know, you just need to be more patient. And I was able to receive that, even with hormones and all that, you know, I'm able to say, okay, you're right. And then step back and look at the situations where I could have been more patient and learn to be more of that for her. But I know that sometimes as moms, we get defensive, you know, because, and it's not out of anything bad. It's just, we want to be doing the best that we can do. And when people call us out or point out ways that we can be better, we kind of take it personally. But for me, I take it as, I know that I'm a great mom. I know that there are always things that I could do better. And if somebody can offer some perspective to help me parent my child in a way that's going to help her to be more fabulous and to enjoy life better, then I'm open to it.
And that is very hard to get
yeah.
to, because it is a very personal experience mm-hmm. and hard to hear, especially from the people close to you.
Right. Yeah.
They give you feedback. And now we brought Mr. James in here.
Yes.
Hey, Jamie.
Yeah.
Tell me about the decision to have a second child.
Yes. Yeah, so we knew when we got engaged that we wanted to have at least one other child. And through talking, we decided we were going to stick with just one more, you know. My husband is a little younger than me. He wanted to wait for a year after we got married so we would have time to be together and all that. But I know that the woman's body doesn't always do exactly what you want it to do on the time that you want it to do it. So, but we ended up waiting just by, we didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't getting pregnant. And that next year, after the year after we got married, I decided I would go to a fertility doctor. And I started doing research, and it was all so overwhelming. But I finally had a referral from a friend, and I made an appointment, and I was told that, you know, the consultation is going to be super expensive and, you know, bring the money when you come. And then after the consultation, we'll let you know if there's anything we can do. And then, you know, it was going to be a lot of money. And so my husband was just like, you know, whatever you want, if that's what you feel like you want to do. But I think that it will work out. And if we don't have another baby, I will be okay. You know, like, I think that it'll be just God's will. So it was right before I had, I think, 48 hours you could cancel the fertility doctor before getting a fee. So I decided last minute to cancel. And interestingly enough, a month later, I was pregnant. So I decided to just kind of set my intentions on pregnancy. I went to the library. I got some books on like eating for fertility. I started using products that my best friend had recommended about, you know, to help get pregnant. And it took stop drinking coffee, stop drinking alcohol. And, you know, and just said, you know, my period came on and I said, this is going to be my last period. I wrote it down and everything, you know, and that very next month, you know, I was pregnant. So it worked out really well.
Power of intention is powerful.
Yes.
I talk about that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say motherhood has taught you about yourself?
Motherhood has taught me that I am a lot more resilient than I would give myself credit for. You know, like I can deal with a lot of things and I can handle difficult situations with grace, you know, and not pop off and not be a hothead, you know. And it also taught me that I don't always have to be right. You know, motherhood taught me that certain things and certain people just aren't important, you know, and not to waste my mind space on things that don't matter. So, you know, internet arguments, like, you're right. You can have it, you know. Today I was at Starbucks and I guess the guy said I cut him off and I'm like, listen, like whatever you need to happen, just if you want to go, go or whatever, you know, like I don't have the energy or the desire to have conflict where it's not like dire straits now that I'm a mom. You know, it just kind of helps me to be more protective of my time and of my energy and of my mind space. And I'm actually like a 10 times better person because of it.
Well, thank you for sitting down with me and having this conversation about motherhood and your work with women. And thank you for helping me
do
the same thing.
Oh, good.
And we made it through with no tears.
Yay.
Y'all, you knew Brandy. She cries, right? Mommy cries about everything.
Thank you again for joining me for this conversation on the Mom Forum, and I hope that you were able to relate to some part of this story. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at the Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on the Mom Forum.